So good to be with you all. Of course, I've been with you all during the week, too. We've had weddings galore and graduations. I don't know. Are you tired of seeing me? I'm not tired of seeing you. Yeah. Good to have you here. A lot of good things are happening, and we want to talk about that today. So we're pausing our series on the Lord's Prayer, but we'll come back to it next week. Pastor Andrew, I think you're up on deck next week, are you not? So for those of you that are new, I have typically done State of the Church addresses about this time of the year. Haven't done one for a while. The last one was in 2024. And before that, I don't think I'd done one since 2018. So a lot of things have happened. The problem is a lot of you that are newer, you don't know the history, and it's really important. And not to pick on anybody here, though some may be here, but in one of the wedding tables this week, I don't know how it came up, but I just said I was noting when President Reagan got shot. Does anybody remember that, 1980, whatever? And nobody at the table, younger and older, knew he ever got shot. Well, we need to know our history. Beyond that, has anybody ever heard of President Kennedy, who was assassinated? Okay, I just want to make sure. It kind of scares me here. I need to make sure I'm in the right place. So I just want to open my heart. This is going to be kind of inspirational, hopefully, and challenging today. I want to give you a little insight into myself and to where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed a little bit. Just some generic things, really, but also some specifics. But let's start with God's word. This is our hope. As it says in Philippians 1:6, I am certain. Is anybody out there certain that God, that's the important part, who began the good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished. And when will that be, pray tell? On the day when Christ Jesus returns. Did you hear that? I better read it again. Wasn't that great worship this morning with our team leading us and you're entering in? I just loved hearing the sound of your voices. Praise the Lord. Bless his name forever. Did anybody go to bed last week or wake up with that melody? Praise the Lord. You didn't? No, I did often. So I'm glad somebody got it, you know. I want to read it again. And I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, that's a qualifier, but God will continue his work until it's finally finished. But that won't be until the day that Christ Jesus returns. We don't know the day or the hour, but we know he will. We know he will. So from my perspective, at the point of senior pastor of Worcester Naz, and I definitely do qualify as a long timer, I'm a member of that club, I can confidently say these are the best of times. At the same time, I'm convinced and I'm convicted and convinced there's more to come, because I believe, if could you sense it today, the wind, capital W, capital I, capital N, D, is still blowing. The wind is blowing. That's our hope. So I just want to let you know, I'm going to give you a little history about me, but don't think about way back when, because this is not who I was. It's who I is. It's who I am right now. At a recent health workup that I've been doing, they think they need to help me out, and I agree. They asked me what my health goal was, and I said, I'll tell you what it is. To be the best 70-year-old I can possibly be. But if I would do that now, I'd say to be the best long-timer I can be. That's what I would have said. So I want to give you an example, and I'm going to refer to this. So I went to college at Olivet. I began there at university. I worked a year after I graduated. I was young when I graduated. Worked a year at Citizen Savings Banks in the greater Canton area at that time. And I was never allowed, for various reasons, to play baseball. And that probably was my most natural sport. I absolutely loved it. Loved basketball. My dad played it, so they couldn't help but say yes to that. Wouldn't let me play. Well, I grew up and I had long arms and I could throw the ball really hard and I was left-handed. So when I got to college at Olivet, they needed left-handed pitchers. They were a premium back then. And so knowing that ahead of time, what I did was I got a book, and here it is. This is published in 1972. I probably got it in 1974, 75. And it's phenomenal. It's all black and white. It's dated. You know, this is new, but it's old. It was published at the time. Well, anyway, I loaned it out and years ago, and for 50 years, I have searched for this book. You got that? So anyway, I could throw really hard, mostly with fairly good control. I only hit a few people, but not in the head. But there was so much fundamentally I didn't know. I played, you know, grew up playing in neighborhoods, but you don't know all the positional things. I was going to coach and teach, and I was taking a baseball course, and our final was like over 100 questions, situational questions, like what do you do in this circumstance? Most of you think, what, you just hit the ball, strike out, go up, sit down. No, it's complicated. So I didn't know so many fundamentals about, you know, proper positioning, where to go when the ball went here, where to cut off and all that stuff. So I got this book somehow, phenomenal book. And what I did, I went home and at Greentown, Ohio, where my dad pastored, and I built a pitcher's mound to specs with the rubber. And there was an old tree there, so I hung an army tarp over it, and I put a strike zone on it and a home plate there. And I would go out there with a whole bag of balls, and I would practice. But here's what I did. I took the book out with me. I mean, I underlined in journal. I wish this was the original because you could see it would be dirty, dog-eared and all that. But I knew that I couldn't just read a book and go out and do it. I had to do what it said. You get the drift? So that helped me a lot. But it was kind of lonely. I didn't have a catch or anything. But there was. Oh, how do you throw that pitch? How do you throw a slider? How do you pitch? And I'd get the book and I'd work and I'd work and I'd work. And it turned out very well. But somewhere along the line, as I mentioned, I lost the book. I gave it away or something to somebody. I'm going to tell you, I've given so many books, loaned out so many books, and I hope people get to heaven who've never returned those books, but I'm not sure if they will. So 50 years. I mean, I'm 70 years old. Why would I want a pitching book like this? Because it's so significant of what I was and who I am, what I was and what I am. So the other, I mean, just a few Sundays ago, after our home had cleared out, I thought, oh, you know, one thing I've never done, I've never checked AI for this book. I'm here to tell you that I stumped AI for an hour and a half or two. They could not come up with this book. I felt so good about it. I had to be careful, though, because they kind of sucked me in. They started bragging on me. Oh, you know, they started saying, like, this was a person out there talking to me. Some of you are getting sucked in on that, aren't you? I know you are. But I said, I know it has a blue cover. I can't remember the title. I don't even know the author. I know it wasn't somebody name brand. It was instructional. I was thinking of Everett B. Koog. Finally, after all that time, an image popped up, and there it was. 50 years later. This is a treasure to me. I'm not going to tell you how much I spent for it. I didn't even tell Dixie, but Deb did, because she ordered it for me. Okay, Pastor, why are you telling us this? Because here I am, 50 years later, age 70. I'm still a dreamer, and I still have passionate, I'm a passionate vision caster of what can be. Not what's been done, I'm thankful, but what can be. With a consistent can-do attitude. Am I surprising any of you so far that have been around here for a while? Because I want to. That's my desire. I want to always keep getting better. I want to. Did I say that clearly? I think I can. I think I need to. And as we keep moving forward, let's aim for perfect and let's settle for excellent. And I like to say, I'm often pleased, but only temporarily satisfied. You can only rest on victories for so long. Agreed? Because I believe in my heart that there is always more to come. And here's why. Luke 2:52 says it, and I'll just give you my pastor's paraphrase of it. Jesus grew in every way. And if he grew, I think I need to and I want to. How about you? And how about we? Yeah. And then it goes on to say in his word too in Hebrews 13 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we're not just stuck in the past or even stuck today. We believe he's enough for the future, whatever that may be. Agreed? We all can, we must, we need to keep getting better. But the only way we can do this is to keep growing. Some of you are so stuck in your rut. Not just spiritually, but wherever, we need to get growing. We want to be, as the old country song goes, as good as the best and better than the rest. Is that okay to say? We live in this mode by constantly learning, embracing, and applying God's word of truth. That's the only way for growth. We keep getting God's word in us. We keep doing it. We keep living it. And you know what I've been calling that lately? The getting God's word in you, doing it, living it. I call that discipleship. Discipleship is more than just learning. I go back to the book. That wouldn't have done me any good unless I did what the book told me to do. And so many times our heads, the Bible reminds me, the Bible says, don't have scripture, but ever learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. That's not just head knowledge. That's heart. That's life knowledge. That's life change. We've got to do the word. That's what discipleship is. A lot of us are in the infancy stage, and it's not because we haven't heard a lot or read a lot or studied a lot, but we have not applied it to our life. How many of you know God's word is powerful, and it'll cut deep within, and it'll correct and all those things to make us who he wants us to be? That's the power of God's word. That's discipleship and growth. I love Psalm 119. The whole chapter is about the word of God. But 105 says, your word, I put parenthetically in me, is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. So if we don't have God's word, we're groping in the dark. And many of us don't even realize it. Our mission is clear and simple and ever before us. Loving God, loving people, and living transformed. You can't cut one of those out of it. These contain, listen, the active elements of believing, belonging, and becoming. And by the way, I want to emphasize this. Did you know that belonging often precedes and proceeds to the other two? You got it? Belonging, loving, caring. The good things of God are all uphill, I've discovered. Have you? They're not always within easy reach, but I want to run all the way through the tape. I don't want to just run to it. I learned that in baseball. You don't stop when you get to first. You run through the base. You hustle through it. While I'm at the leadership point here, I'll use my passion and influence to pass on this conviction to keep challenging you and yours. Is that okay? Is that okay? Well, let's talk about the past a little bit. I was thinking about the worship this morning and funny things that have kind of happened here recently in recent months. And I'm told, Judy and Barb, you could verify it, but I'm told that when the church was down there at the corner of Walnut and what? Say it louder.
South.
Yeah, south? North? South. South. That they would just raise their voices. I mean, the organ was just blaring and the piano and the windows were open because there was no air conditioning. And I'm heard, Rich Day used to tell me all the time, that we were referred to as the Noiserines. The shoe fits, huh? We're gonna wear it. That's what Rich told me, and I believe Rich, because I know he's in heaven. If he's not in heaven, none of us are going there either, okay? I just got news for you. He's my friend. Psalm 103:3. No, I love that. I can remember this, and I did it the King James way as my memory. No matter where you are today, know this. The Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. I love that line. Did you catch that? I better read it again. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So, as it was prayed recently, all the glory goes to God. Reviewing my notes, significant things have been accomplished since I last gave the state of the church in 2024, at the end of July. And I just want, I'm not going to list all of them, but I want to hit some of them that have happened. NAS Kids, Pastor Delaney Brinkman is now co-pastoring with Cindy and is going to take over in mid-September in grades 1-4, and that happened in 5/26. Route 56 with Pastor Colton Walton is leading a specific ministry there of 5th and 6th graders. Recently, they just had a camp, I believe. Thrive, Aubrey hadn't arrived here. Pastor Aubrey Lortz now, say Lortz, that's her name. It's a funny thing at the wedding, the pastor kept saying Lortz, and I thought she was saying Lord all the time. You know, I thought she said Aubrey Lord, but it's Lortz, that's her last name. Family Life has been added. Pastor Sheldon was around, but he went full-time in 6/25, if I'm not mistaken. CR was established now and has completed a year and probably a half or three or almost three quarters of a year. Alpha has done four rounds. It was established before then, but it's done four rounds since. Grief Share was launched. I think we've got one of the semesters under our belt. And by the way, I think we have a registration table out there. And you know what? I don't know if you're needy, but you're needed at places like that. You can make a difference when you show up. Your story and your testimony is so powerful. Any agreement out there? You are needed. We're not saying you're needy. Forge, we've had various gatherings, but now they start a once a month men's gathering Bible study. Man, you ought to come. 18 and up, but you ought to come for that. My Start is now a separate from Basics, and it's once a month for anybody that's considering a relationship with Jesus or new in their faith. We're offering that the first Sunday, I think, of each month. Basics, the course the three of our pastors teach regularly, is been revamped, and everybody should go through it, even if you've been in membership class years and years ago. I would just think, too, I'm really not a numbers guy, so I had to get some help on this. But many of you probably didn't realize that at Easter of this year, we shattered our all-time attendance record. We broke the 2,000 barrier on Easter Sunday. And that didn't include, you know, night of worship or anything like that. But that's just a milestone. And I look back for some other things, and I asked Pam and Ty to find some numbers for me. And I want to just let you know where we've been. Since 2024... both online and in person, we've increased 14%. The more people come, the harder it is for percentage growth. You know the numbers. You know how that works, right? But that's what, in 2 years since my last State of the Church address, in our annual giving for our budget, we have increased 10%. And that's probably normal because attendance always, the lag is always the giving. It typically is. And I just want to give you a heads up on this. So, and by the way, going back to 94, 95 when we first came, our attendance has increased 509% since that first Sunday in 1995 in May. Our annual income has gone up 1,144% in those years. Is that incredible? And I just want to let you know this too. Maybe you don't know, but we built this. We moved in 2006, right? I think we came up in October. And our debt load at that time was $6.2 million. It seems astronomical. Our property value is sky high. Now, I don't know what the appraisal is, but our current loan is $2.6 million. And we've been paying at least, well, I think, $10,000 extra for a month for several years now, right? So aren't you glad about that? And I'll hit it later, but wouldn't it be great to just wipe that debt out sometime? Just wipe it out. Wipe it out to be debt-free. We believe we can. We'd love to do that. Well, I just wanted to share some things like that with you. Our generosity levels in general through Outlinks have been expanded. We're keeping that before you, and we're not going to let that die. It's not just that. It's just the idea, the mindset of being generous to others always. Another thing I really noted and wanted to land on too, that 2 years ago I talked to you about a directional leadership team, although we called it something else, but since then, the directional leadership team has been established. We call it the DLT. It's been established and it's functioning very well. We meet almost every single week with lengthy meetings here and there. We've got a lengthy one this week, but that's made up of Pastor Andrew, Pastor Joel, Pastor Nate, and Pastor Sheldon. And I want to tell you, I'm the best leader I've ever been right now because of being surrounded by a team of leaders like this. Do you understand that? And they all have responsibilities and ministries, all of them ones I mentioned and more, but they have responsibility for various ministries in the church and various people that report to them, volunteers, staff, whatever the case may be. So I want to say this as well, that just a out of a conversation, we have licensed and ordained ministers here, pastors here. And I just want to say that our NCO, our North Central Ohio District licensed ministers, it's a big deal to get a district license. And those who are ordained elders, listen, we need to teach our kids by example to respectfully address them as pastor. I'm asking that, okay? I'm asking you of that. You know by now, I've said it many times, that I love to be called Pastor or Pastor Nathan. That's not some indifferent, you know, label. No, it's important. You know what that does in my mind? It shows respect for the calling and the position. It used to be in our culture, we really respected callings and positions. That's the most important thing. So I want us to retrain ourselves. I want our kids, I want to teach our kids to address the pastors as pastors, okay, if they're licensed. Is there a reason our name tags contain titles? Of course. I'm so proud of all of them. Aren't you? Aren't you proud of all of our staff? I am. Well, I could go on and on there, but I love the end of Psalm 13:6 that says this, I will sing like we did this morning. I will sing to the Lord because he has treated me generously. Amen. And we could contemporize it because he is treating me generously. In agreement in the house there? He is so good. I think about the present. That's a lot of things that are happening, but moving to the future. Deuteronomy 8:10 says, when you have eaten, I've always returned to this verse, a question. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. We don't want to rest on past laurels. We don't want to take God credit. We want to give him all the glory, do we not? Every blessing, every good thing is from him. When you're satisfied, don't forget the God who led you out of that dark place. We must never forget and continue to declare our dependence on God. He gets all the glory. To repeat that again, at Worcester Naz, I want this gathering of Jesus to be known as church strong and family strong. That's what we're calling our family ministries that are starting up now with marriage and those kind of things with help there. So let's talk about church strong. Philippians 2:13 says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Again, that's my definition of discipleship, to do, doing what pleasing him. Not just knowing what pleases him. We've got to know it, but we've got to do it. Is that point sinking in? We got to be doers of the word. I want you to know again, as I've stated, that I absolutely love God's church. It's no new thing. That's where I've lived. When I say church, I'm speaking of people and not a place. The church has been so important and huge my entire life, and it still is. The church has been so good to me and my family. I don't know where we'd be without its influence in our lives through thick and thin, the ups and downs of life. It has connected us with some of the finest people on the planet, including you. And I'm so grateful for you today, more than I could ever describe. I think about the gathering of Jesus, we call it in Hebrews 10:24, and it says, with that in mind, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. How do we do that? By hanging out together, by being together, by serving together, by walking together. And then it goes on, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another. How can we do that unless we're together? The gathering of Jesus. I've often said something like this to staff, that through the years I've frequently visited other places, churches, conference events, all over all these years, but none of these visits have made me critical or restless or made me want to leave here and go there. These experiences caused me to love Worcester Naz and all of you even more. When I'm there, I'm thinking of you. I want to learn and grow and bring any transferable principles and best practices to my hometown. Worcester's my hometown. Wayne County is my home county. So that we can keep getting better. It always ignites within me a holy discontent that is never content to stay the same. I never want to just settle. Do you? I never want to just settle, especially spiritually. And I'm still connected with pastors of strong churches from coast to coast and peer to peer. We exchange information and ideas about best practices that are here, there, wherever. And we all want our local churches to be the very best we can be. Is that okay to say? Not better than, but the best we can be. The church is so important because Jesus said he'd keep right on building it. His church is not going down in spite of predictions. It will not barely survive. It's going to thrive until he comes again. Matthew 16 says it, I will build my church, Jesus speaking, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. So if you want to run the church down, you're up against a mighty big force here. He said, I will build it. I know it's not popular. The church is winning. No, it isn't. And we don't have to be like everybody else. We want to be God's church right here in this community and in this county. we find great significance immersing and investing our lives in these eternal relationships, loving God, loving people. That consumes us and causes us to always want to be living, transformed. That's the beauty of holiness, walking in that life. Relationships really matter. So live it, love it. All we do must be viewed through the relational lens, this way and that way. That's how people come to him, this way. It's been said over and over that the local church is where it's at, and I couldn't agree more. And I want to say it again slightly differently. God's people is filled, not was, but is filled with some of the best people on the planet. Yes, I know there's some lemons among us, but I'm telling you, the best people in the world are in God's church. Amen? And by the way, some of us have had lemons for vehicles, but that we don't give up on vehicles, do we? But some of us had a bad church experience. And we say, they're all bad at the church, whatever. You know who you are. Our prayer and heart's desire for our children and now our grands is that they will love Jesus and love his church. That's why we pray our Father, because his church is made up of so many of his children like you, but all over the world, we're a part of something huge. And you think NYC with 10,000 youth worshiping and singing something, our family is much bigger than that. It's including that. I was asked to do the MVNU address, baccalaureate address this year. And then I inserted this after other things I was challenging in 12 minutes and 27 seconds that I spoke. Here's an excerpt that I wanted to share with you. At the end of my senior year, I was in a band after our final deliverance concert. That was a band I was in. I was riding back to campus with one of my members in the singing group, Dave. And he said to me, I'll never forget, he looked at me. I was driving. He said, Nathan, I can hardly wait to graduate, get a good job, and serve as the best layman any local church has ever had. And I'm here to tell you that 47 years later, he's still doing it. Update. I just ran into him at camp meeting at Mount Vernon, and he said, hey, I hear you mentioned me in your baccalaureate address. And I go, yeah. And he said, and by the way, he had a white-collar job, high-end job, and he said, yeah, I'm living in Mount Vernon now near my family. And he said, I volunteer 2 or 3 days on the grounds team at Mount Vernon. Don't you love that? A white-collar, high-level job, and now he's just looking for a place to serve. Nearly 50 years later, isn't that inspirational? I told those gathered there, including Delaney, Pastor Delaney, that was there, I gotta live by my standard. I encourage you to find a great job that's in your passion zone and serve with all your heart as to the Lord, as in Colossians 3:23. And when you find that job, immediately, if not sooner, find a life-giving local church. Don't settle for less. It is in loving and serving God and people that you'll find true significance and freedom. My prayer is in your church, Lord, be glorified. In your church, Lord, may we say everything, John 12:28. Father, bring glory to your name. It's not about us. We're pointing to him. Church strong, but it's so entwined with family strong. When I was growing up, I was telling somebody this week, kids just didn't have the run of our homes. They had to be invited in. I mean, we had to specifically say, you are allowed to come in this house. I mean, I just thought of it. My last whipping that I got, as a spare the rod, spoil the child, was when I had a group of guys in before church on Sunday night and I was feeding them all breakfast without permission. Can you believe that? Mine is not a happy story. I had such a good heart. Such a good heart. But this is come in this house is an all-inclusive invitation that Jesus extends. That's why we must have and build on our inviting culture that we nurture here. We are the church. His church is us, and we are his church. We are as good as the church gets, and you all are cordially invited. This is personal, yet it's an open invitation to come in this house. We see stats and hear stats that the average church attendance now in America is less than once a month, but that's if nothing more important comes along. No, it's true. Stats say, I mean, it's plummeted even more since the virus season. I absolutely love the family. I love it that the church is to be viewed and experienced as a family gathering that has a family feel. The family table is one of my most favorite places to be. That's family and church. And by the way, far as I know, Dixie, we're going to gather our family around the tables today. I can't wait. I love it. I love it. I anticipate it. I have a deep conviction and passion for every family to be the best that it can be. We are best together. That's why we want to do family strong. Please, I challenge you. Never marginalize a priority of church and family as it connects with matters of faith. Please don't do it. I'm speaking from generations where I've seen it in practice. My family, my brothers, my sister, their kids and their kids, I'm telling you, and generations before, it's about relationships. Don't be careless. Make it a priority. I'm so thankful that my parents were so consistent before us. They weren't perfect. And I'm the first to notice, but they were consistent. So I ask you, does your life and family have a direction in the priority of faith and things spiritual? Are you headed there? I mean, do you have a goal? Are you on track? Do you talk about it at home? We're living for keeps. You understand it? We're raising our kids for keeps. We're influencing our grands for keeps. This advice from Joshua 24, parts of it, verse 14. So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. That's that living transformed, nothing held back, no compartments. Put away forever the idols, and we have a lot of them in our culture. Serve the Lord alone. Choose today whom you will serve, but as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Is that anybody's family battle cry? As for me, as for us, we will serve the Lord. Church is a powerful influence in the lives of our families and communities. It was created to reflect the love and light of Jesus, to represent him by the way we do life together. I've got to say, as a former athlete speaking, I still am in my mind, but not in body. When I walk around, see town, that I got to tell you that Sunday sports just hurt my pastor's heart. And I just want to ask you, I'm not accusing. I mean, I lived for sports when I was young, but do our kids really need to be involved in every sport? Do they need to become involved in every activity and extracurricular that's available? I mean, why or for what? These people and events, listen, they are influencing and shaping their lives. I just ask you, not accusing, is that a good thing? Is it a good thing? Parenting is challenging these days, but then again, it always has been. You've been gifted the privilege and responsibility of training your children in the way that they should go, as Proverbs 22:6 says, in the way that they need to go. Deuteronomy 6 speaks to that. Verse 4, the Lord is our God and the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Spiritual shortcuts are never beneficial because nothing is more important than their eternal spiritual life. Agreed? Teach them that going to church and serving faithfully helps them develop a growing relationship with God and people. It's a non-negotiable priority. It needs to be that in our lives. Example, responsible parents would never think of allowing their children to miss school because they didn't feel like going. I mean, you've heard it all. I tried the thermometer over the hot stove. Anybody ever tried that before? But my mom knew I wasn't dead and my temperature couldn't be 112. So I'm speaking as a pastor with credibility and pocket change here. Why allow our children to call the shots about not going to church faithfully and not serving when they don't feel like it? Please, 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 please be consistent. We need parents and adults to step up and volunteer and pour godly time, attention, and wisdom into our kids' areas and our teens as well. Isn't that at least as important as the other things we pour ourselves in and immerse ourselves in? I think it is. So I want to ask you this sobering question. Who are you influencing? And who is influencing you? Who is influencing you, your kids, and your grands? This came up in conversation recently too. I'll ask this. Who are you taking your family cues from? Are you taking them from godly people? I'm just asking. So important. We all need to invest our influence wisely where it'll produce a harvest of love and growth. And every life is so precious and a terrible thing to waste. So we've got to be intentional. We've got to be deliberate. I've often used the 2 Samuel 14 passage just to sniff it out. That's a reminder. Our lives are like water spilled out on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Choose your life investment plans carefully, dear ones. They will set the trajectory for your lives and determine where you land, and many times where your children and grands land, your consistency. Remember that we always had influence, and we are always being influenced. We're not a perfect family at Worcester Naz for sure, but we don't want to fight and complain and criticize. That's not who we are. That's not what we do. We're family. We're in this together. And when we're together, we're strong. We need to settle it. Church is what we need to be in. Church is what we need to do. It's not optional. We can spend so much time chasing temporary things that we have little time left for important things and things that lead towards eternity. We tend and trend to invest heavily in so much that has little eternal significance, but this lopsided investment does end up having a great eternal significance. We need to make sure our lives count towards forever. Matthew 6 reminds us, what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? More than your kids? More than your grands? My parents often said that the future is bright as the promises of God. They said it in the best of times and the worst of times consistently. They lived with the optimism of hope because of God and who He is, and I'm passionately optimistic about the future. Deuteronomy reminds us in chapter 31, and I claim this promise for us, do not be afraid or discouraged. And I know the time period, the context, but do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Is anybody encouraged by those words? They're real and they're relevant. So as we face the future, not in isolation and not in coasting and not in the comfort zone, I see Y2J on the screen, many more coming to accept and trust Jesus as their Savior. And we see every person as just one friend away, one invitation away from Jesus and from heaven and from the church as well. I see a church that's filled with people walking in holiness, living transformed. Many will make Jesus Lord and live completely surrendered lives to the full. That's what John 10:10 was talking about, life to the full, a fully surrendered life. I see a rise in discipleship with getting the word in us, but doing the word. Did you get that? Doing the word, not just knowing it, but doing it. I see Pray Now continuing to expand, and the prayer emphasis and experiences, and 21 Jumpstart that we're already planning for. We need to take that to a higher level the first weeks of January and really go after that and emphasize and expand that. We're doing that now. I want to see more and more people serving, moving from a tender only, come and go, grab and go, fast food, to contributors. Name your serve. I love it. I popped in this week. They had a kitchen hospitality meeting, and there were over 30 there. Don't you love that? Many new as well. I love it. We serve so many people. How many of you know that when we touch hearts, it opens them to the gospel? When we touch them with a meal, it opens their heart. It does. I want to see hospitality go to a new level, asking how can things keep getting better? We want to keep examining and improving the things we do well. I was reminded some people go to game films to see what they did wrong. Said, let's start going to game films to see what we did right so we can improve on it. Does that make sense? I want to get better. Don't you? I think we can. I think we can. I have a vision that we could be debt free, as I mentioned, paying off that existing 2.6 million and get those, what do we have, nearly 15,000 square feet somewhere left to finish in the basement, or 12 to 15. I'm not sure what the number is. Young adults. We have so many of you. You're here today, and we had a gathering last Sunday, but we're going to do it again on the 16th right after church. I want many of you, not just the long-timers, but many of you that are in that 23 to 35 age, please come. We just need to get to know each other. We've got to get connected. We desperately want you to be there, and Dixie will feed you well, I guarantee you. We're going to welcome Pastor Kyle Lortz here in a very part-time, Pastor Aubrey's husband, as he'll be moving into the mix, and where nobody's going anywhere, but he's going to be doing that. We're going to also, Dixie and I were talking, we're going to have a new attenders open home. We're going to have a couple of those events in the fall, and I want you to come. If you're newer in the last year and haven't been to our home, we're behind there. We want you to come because we just want to interact and get to know you better. I want to see Thrive continue to grow and to fill the first rows in the middle. I'm challenging teenagers to be leaders, to be a friend, to make friends, and to bring your friends. I want us also to continue to support and be team players for the North Central Ohio District and support them by doing kids camps and teen camps and family camp as well. And then I see our directional leadership team, that the staff that I mentioned, continuing to grow as I give them more and more responsibilities, as I pour everything I can and have into them. Let's just encourage their growth together. Can we do that together? We're blessed with a team. And I just felt I should put this in, and I'm not picking on anybody, but I have a note, church hurt. I said, let's let go and let God heal the hurt. Put the church hurt behind you. Move on. Remember, the best and most significant times in your lives were when you were serving joyfully very well. Very well. You weren't miserable. Keep improving your serve. Jesus came to serve. Think about that. The very ones who would desert him and would kill him, and he knew it, but he served them anyway. Am I making that up? Jesus knew. Well, in these days of mega isolation, it's still true more than ever that relationships matter, that everything rises and falls, as our mission statement goes. One size doesn't fit all, it fits one. And so we've been challenging you always, do for one. You can't do for everybody, but you can do for one, because it matters if you do. That's the difference maker. It matters, it matters, it matters. Today, when you're in the community, I love the hometown. We went there on my sabbatical, where Ben and Aaron redo homes. I love, they have a humongous sign and they say, hospitality is our legacy. Don't you love that? A welcoming town. If that's true of a town, how much more should that be of a church? One of my favorite writers, he's secular. I don't know that he has a relationship with the Lord, but he's written some books that I'm circulating, Unreasonable Hospitality. And I got hold of his field guide and he said this, hospitality is, share this with staff, making people feel they're truly seen. That needs to happen today. Giving people a sense of belonging, that leads to believing and becoming. Setting expectations, caring more, trying harder, going the extra mile, making people feel welcome. Don't we want to be that, a welcoming church? Do we? Kind, warm, loving, and friendly. 1 Corinthians reminds us in chapter 12 that all of you together are Christ's body and each of you is a part of it. We're to be the gathering of Jesus, a community of God's grace and truth. Our prayer is come, unity. We want unity. May God bind our hearts together with his great love, not ours, but his. I believe that Worcester Nazareth can become more of this kind of gathering of Jesus. I still have a full tank of passion and a burning desire to see lost people get found and experience the living, transformed life. Do you? Your family, your friends, your associates. Only Jesus can make this possible, because I know that his love still changes hearts and lives. Jesus modeled the relational piece. As a youth pastor, I said this spontaneously, and I've held on to it all these years. Every person is only one friend away from Jesus and the church family and eternal life in heaven. Is that sobering or what? Stats still tell us in this day and time, over 90% of people will say yes if you personally invite them. Personally invite them. Let's determine to take this journey from here to heaven together. So help us, God. We're better together. Let's determine to take many more with us in heaven. May there be no one left behind. And as we engage in forward motion, we claim the promise of Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Is anybody finding that to be true? We need to read the files. We need to think about the past and the present, because there's hope going forward in the future because of who he is. We need to keep growing. We need to keep getting better. My question to you is, will you join us? Will you join us? No matter what age or stage of life you're in, don't you believe you can get better? Don't you believe that God's power has still transforming power in your life? He sure does. Well, just a note to clear up some cobwebs. My current retirement plan is scheduled for May 31 of 2029. That will conclude nearly 50 years of consecutive years of full-time ministry. I began this lifelong journey together in August of 1979. Isn't that unbelievable? 79. But in this meantime, it's full speed ahead. We're not pausing. We're not coasting. Keep praying for the Worcester Nazareth Church Board. Listen carefully as they move forward in the perpetuation plan. Note this. I want to be clear. This process will end up selecting the next point pastor leader to present to you, one person, not multiple choice, one person to present to you for consideration and election at the appointed time. The church board can only bring a name to you, and then the church membership will vote. That's why church membership is so important. Members that are 15 years of age and older. So, if you have any questions about that, be clear. We hear things floating out there, and we want it to be accurate. But again, I'm not coasting. Do you get the drift? All in, all out, through the tape. I close with this promise, and then we're going to sing our conclusion. Thanks for bearing with me today. The Lord says, Psalm 32:8, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. Any believers out there, I will advise you and watch over him. And as we move forward, transition, the thing we don't want to do, we don't want to mess with the culture. We don't want to mess with the DNA of Worcester Nass, because it's been intentionally developed over all these years. So would you pray? Would you join us? All right, I want you to stand.